Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are to receive that which is yours. Father, we delight in your word, a word that is ever true and constantly and consistently speaks to us. So, Father, now, would you help us to receive it, that we might delight that we belong to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Membership has its privileges. Maybe you need to be a little older like me to remember that slogan from American Express. But membership has its privileges. In those ads, I think they probably started somewhere in the 80s. For those of you who are younger, that's the 1980s. There were ads where in fine living, fine dining, fine expressions of the best life were put forward. One of my favorite was of a father who was desperate to get home to see his young daughters play. And his plane had been derailed for some reason. And so he went to the counter and she said, "I'm not sure I can find you anything." And he pulled out his American Express card and she, of course, found him a first class seat. And the end of the ad is him there seeing his daughter in her little flower pot outfit. Membership has its privileges. That's the way of the world. We tend to live in a world that says, "Come join my club," that breaks the world down into fragments and segments and peoples and groups. Because membership has its privileges. Some of those can be beautiful things. Some of those can have great agendas. But we join groups too, don't we? Because membership has its privileges. We are a part of athletic clubs. Or we are a part of political parties. Or we have social agendas that are a part of groups that we're a part of. And we begin to work those agendas. Why? Because membership has its privileges. But membership also calls us to remember that it has costs and benefits. There are always costs to be a part of a group, and many times there are benefits to being a part of that group, and Christianity is the same. There are costs and benefits, and this morning, as we come to Jesus' high priestly prayer, he is reflecting to the Father about the benefits that belong to his disciples. Some of us know the cost of membership. It was of great cost to our Savior. He laid down his life, was risen up that we might have life in him. The greatest cost came to Jesus himself, but those who freely receive of the grace of Jesus Christ, they are called to take up their cross and follow him. Entry is free. At times, Christianity can be costly. But it compares, the costs do not compare to the benefits that are ours. Because the beauty of Christianity is filled with benefits, and it's those benefits that Jesus prays for his disciples, the 11 who walked with him, and us who follow, benefits for his disciples. You know, some of you have done that thing where you go to a financial advisor and you do the cost-benefit analysis of what it would mean for you to retire with, let's say, $1 million or $2 million. And you sit down with that financial advisor, in my case, and they would look at the cost and the benefit, and they would tell me at this point, it would take half my salary and half of yours to get me to $1 million. But when you look towards the future with your financial advisor, what you do today is investing for the future. You look forward. Some of the beauty of what Jesus is doing in our text is he is cementing for his disciples what they have today, what they will have along the way, and what they have for the future. He is speaking of the benefits of belonging to him, to the Savior. And you see that this morning in our text in a royal affirmation and then in some royal asks. You see, as disciples, you are a treasured possession of Jesus. Now, I don't want to take for granted that all of us see ourselves in that relationship to Jesus this morning. But if you come from outside and you're thinking about who Jesus is, one of the things that is true of Christians is that we understand ourselves in relationship to Jesus and His great gifts as belonging to Him, as a possession, a treasured possession of the Most High. And that's what Jesus wants His disciples to know, that they belong this morning and that He will endure with them to the end. And so treasured possessions have a lasting honor in the kingdom of God. Jesus has been praying for Himself here in chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, that His glory that He has had from all eternity past would be manifest, would be seen, would be made much of. And as He turns from Himself in verses 1 through 5, He turns to His disciples, those 11 who have made the long trek with Him over months and years past. He begins to pray for them. Finally, next week we'll look at the prayer He prays for the church to come, in verses 20 through 26. Today about belonging, to next week about unity. But there is this call that Jesus has to the Father to bring to bear the benefits of His relationship to the Father, to His own disciples. Great gifts we have in the death and resurrection, ascension, and now intercession of our Savior for us. And you see those here in our text. Because of all that Jesus has done, we get to eavesdrop, as it were, on heaven. But we get to partake of things that He has given because of the fullness in the finished work He has done for us on the cross. Jesus asserts His ownership. Notice there in verses 6 through 10, there is a royal affirmation. And this is how Jesus speaks of us. This is how He speaks of His disciples. Notice in verse 6, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. It's very interesting here in verses 6 through 10. The heart of Jesus is to help His disciples have the confidence of belonging. The benefits of discipleship is confidence in our belonging to God. Four times, as a matter of fact, we're told that the Father has given disciples to Jesus. The Father has given us to Jesus. Back up in verse 2, which we worked our way through a little bit last week. Notice there in verse 2 of chapter 17, since You have given Him authority, that's Jesus, over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. Notice there, Jesus has authority over all things. In His death, in His resurrection, in His rising again, He reclaims that which is rightfully His, authority over all things. He has come in the place of man, stood up against the temptations that Adam fell to, and now He reigns and rules over all because of His death and resurrection. And in that great work, God has given Him a people. Given Him a people who have a sense of belonging. There in verse 6, He thanks God for those that He has given Him. Notice there in verse 9, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. Down in verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, the only place in the Gospels where Jesus reaches out to God is the Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. You see, the great gift of salvation is this gift. We who believe and who trust and who rest in Jesus, we belong because God has entrusted a people to Jesus, gifted a people to Jesus. Belonging is at the heart of who we are. Belonging is at the heart of our life. Life can be hard, but one thing we can know for sure as we trust in the Savior is that we belong to God. You know, that runs counterculture to the way the world works, doesn't it? Much of the world around us works as if I am my own. My time is my own. My resources are my own. My future is my own. My life is my own. We trumpet this idea of belonging to self. But isn't it interesting here what Jesus celebrates on the eve of His death? on the eve of his grief, what he celebrates is belonging to him. Now, it's interesting here because these are the very guys he's praying for. These are the very guys that in a matter of hours are going to scatter. He is praying for belonging and they're going to betray. He is praying for the gift and they're going to walk out for a time. Because what Jesus has to bear for them, they cannot bear. But Jesus prays that they would know the future of their life is in belonging to him. We are gifted to the Savior from the Father. And that brings security to us. One of the things that gets Christianity right is to get authority right. It's not my rule over me that matters. It's God's rule in Christ over me that matters. When my heart is turned towards Him, when your heart is turned towards Him, you can gather in a sense of belonging. Do you know what it means to belong to God this morning? Do you know what it is to be a gift of the Father to the eternal Son? Do you know that confidence that comes in believing in Jesus, in trusting that we belong to Him? That's what gets us through the day. That's what makes sure we will endure for tomorrow. It's not what we do for Him. It's what He has done for us that sets the heart aright. And the strength of that commitment abides with the Savior who marched straight through death to life again, that you may belong to God. Now, there are perils around us. There is one who would unsettle us, we're told of in the text. The world hates, Satan hates, but Jesus loves. And there is joy in the belonging to Him. God has given Jesus a people, and Jesus takes care of His people. His authority is manifest to us. His gift is manifest to us. His joy is manifest to us when we find right reflection on being the gift. Treasured possessions. That's what the believers are. Not always perfect possessions, but treasured possessions. Because of the gifting of the Father to the Son, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And we live our time, our decisions, our future, our life is all summed up in belonging to Jesus. Jesus prays for His disciples as He would pray for us this morning that we might get a sense of what it is to be given to Him, what it is to belong to Him, what it is to rest in Him. But then Jesus goes on out of that belonging, out of that sense of ownership, He goes on to pray for His disciples in verses 11 through 19. Notice there is this royal ask. It's not only what Jesus speaks of us, it's what Jesus seeks for us that's important in the text. And Jesus seeks for His disciples from God that God will do a safekeeping, shepherding, sanctifying, sending work in us. There's a lot going on here in the text, but it's important that we understand that the Father, that Jesus is asking the Father for care and keeping and protection, sanctifying and guiding for His disciples. He asks boldly. In our house, there are among the children five kids, four boys and one girl. It's a well-known fact. I think sometimes they think I don't know, but I do know. It's a well-known fact that when the kids want something, they will often ask Carabeth, the daughter, to ask Dad. There is some belief, and it's probably not all that misguided, that if Carabeth asks for the ice cream, we'll go get ice cream. If Carabeth asks for this or that, we might get it. Why? Because there's this sense in which my daughter has my heart. And so they think I don't know, but I really do know. That there are times when all the kids get together and they make a plan for Carabeth to come and ask Dad because they're at least 80% sure it's got an 80% likelihood if she asks. Jesus asked the Father. The Father has Jesus' heart and Jesus has the Father's heart for us. And so when Jesus prays for you, there's a beautiful work of what is going on. And Jesus begins to pray for His disciples that God would keep them safe. That God would guard them to the end. that God would sanctify, cleanse, and change them, that they may be sent into the world. Notice that idea here of safekeeping. And what's our hope in this world? That God's at work in us and in the world. Notice there in verse 11, I am no longer in the world. Jesus knows that His days are coming to an end. He knows that His death and His resurrection will take Him back to the Father. He has protected His own, but now He is asking the Father to protect them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as we are one. You see there that call to keep. You know, sometimes the perils of life overwhelm us. Sometimes the struggles and heartaches of the day can be just too much for us. What's our hope? God's at work. God is helping, keeping, guiding us. It is God who safe keeps His children. Because of His great promise and gift to the Son, we have the hope that we are safe and that we will be kept to the end. I know there are moments when you come to the end of yourself. But Jesus knows for you this morning that we have not come to the end of God's work for us. It's God who keeps us. And it's God who guards us. Notice Jesus prays for safekeeping for His disciples. He also prays that God would shepherd them. He would protect them. He would guard them. Notice there in verse 12, that while I was with them, I kept them in Your name, which You have given Me. I have guarded them, and not one of them is lost except for Judas, the son of destruction, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to You, and these things I spoke in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. Notice there this idea of shepherding, of caring, of leading, of guarding, of guiding. We can trust because God guards our way. He keeps our steps. He directs our paths. It's not so important that we see every step to come. It's important that God sees every step to come and that He is leading us, shepherding us, carrying us forward. Because we belong, we shall endure to the end because we are protected by the One who is calling us to persevere. Safekeeping, shepherding, and cleansing. Notice, God does a work that keeps, that guards, and also that sanctifies. Notice, Jesus had given them God's Word. Jesus gives us God's Word. He has spoken for God's Word, and He has given that Word so that we might be changed, sanctified, set apart. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Sanctify them. God is asked to do a keeping, guarding, sanctifying work in our life. You see, Jesus is committed to your change, maybe even more than you're committed to your change. God doesn't just give us His Word to inform us. God gives us His Word to transform us. He will not let us go. He will not leave us in confusion. He will change us. Now, sometimes the words of Jesus can fall upon our ears with difficulty, and we have a hard time knowing that God is for us and that He is at work to us and that He is at work for us. But be assured that Jesus has prayed for you that God would sanctify you, that God would make you more like Jesus, that God's Word would transform you so that you would receive the goodness of God, the joy of Christ, the hope to come. Now, interestingly, our mission field is what comes next. We are safe kept, we are guarded, we are sanctified, and we are sent. Notice there in verse 18, the sending work of God. Jesus asks that God would send, as He had sent Jesus into the world, as You sent Me into the world, verse 18, so I have sent them into the world. Now, the problem there is that the world has hated those who belong to Christ. The world is unsettled about those who have followed Christ. And so Jesus is asking for protection for those. Because our mission field is in the battlefield. Notice there in the text, Jesus doesn't ask that we be taken out of the world, but that we be protected in the world, that we be called to his service and love him because we are sent to follow. See, the prayer of Jesus for his disciples is that we might march forward in the strength of God who is at work in us, keeping, guarding, protecting, and sending us for his service. We don't, what Rebecca Pippert said, we don't hole up. We're not into rabbit hole Christianity. We know that in the world there are strengths that would avail us that probably are stronger than us, but that are not stronger than our Father. And Jesus applies his power to us that we may be his messengers, his ambassadors of peace into his world. He gives us the ability we don't have and supplies us the ability that we desperately need so that we can be his people in the world who delight in belonging and enduring to the end. We are satisfied in the goodness of Christ that we may rest in him. You see, Jesus' provisions will not buckle under the pressure. You know, if I'm honest with you, I often want to buckle under the pressure of life. Under the pressure of relationships, under the pressure of conflict, under the pressures of struggle, even temptation. But one of the things that gathers my heart, and I hope gathers your heart in the struggle, is that Jesus will not buckle under the pressure. Here Jesus is, the night before his death. And notice, it's not his death that has consumed him. It's the well-being of his disciples. Jesus, yes, he has prayed for himself, return the glory that is mine, that I may share in that glory with you, verses 1 through 5. But immediately he turns next to who? To those who belong. Lord. He knows they're going to buckle under the pressure, but Jesus is not going to buckle under the pressure. And when you are thinking that you are at the end of yourself, what will you do? Run to Jesus, who has prayed for you and is praying for you now. For he doesn't buckle under the pressure. You see, we need a growing sense of whose we are and who we are as we seek the Father. And Jesus prays that we might have it. One of the things I get to do most Tuesdays is I get to share with 4 and 5 year olds up here on the first two rows in a little chapel service. And we tell the glory story. We talk about the good news and the bad news of the gospel. And I have the privilege at the beginning and the end of each of those little times to hear about 4, 5, 6 year olds pray. You ever just sat and listened to a 4, 5, 6 year old pray? You know what I love about a young kid's heart in prayer? They just pray their heart. You know, they'll come up sometimes. We usually have 2 in the beginning and 2 in the end of each of the little meetings. We'll have 2 kids pray. They all want to pray, by the way. The hardest thing for me is trying to remember who prayed last week. No, I didn't pray last week because they don't remember who prayed last week either. They just know they want to pray right now. The hardest thing is kind of keeping it together, but I love it. So 2 of them will come up. They'll stand by me. I'm sitting in a little chair here. They'll stand by me and they'll begin to pray. Now, sometimes they want me to help them pray. And when I help them pray, their prayer sounds so much more dignified. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for my friends. God, thank you. When they pray, they just pray what's on their heart. Lord, thank you, you're God. Thank you, I got to be at co-op. Thank you, we're going to get to play. Thank you that I'm going to get to play with Jenny after time. They just speak their heart to God. And I love it. Every time, I love it. See, the teachers think I'm there to teach them, but actually what God is doing is instructing me. Because what Jesus does for his people, for his disciples, he just prays his heart. He knows your weakness and frailty this morning. And whether you know it or not, Jesus does. He knows that we are a people of great need. And when he comes and asks that you would be kept, you will be kept because the Son has sought the Father. When he asks that you would be guarded, you will be guarded because the Son has asked the Father. When he asks that you would be changed, sanctified, cleansed, and transformed, it will occur as you rest in him because the Son has asked the Father. You know, one of our great gifts is just to join our heart to the heart of Jesus in prayer. Lord, change me. Lord, help me. Lord, guard me. Lord, keep me. You can't pray better than Jesus. And if Jesus is praying for you and you are joining Him in these prayers, you can entrust the Father to keep you safe. You know, Jesus never tells us to be childish, but He often commended the childlike faith of those who just came and received. There is this childlike quality in our lives that is needed so that we will rest not in our own strength, but on the strength of Jesus. Because He has prayed for us, we can trust. Because He has declared our belonging, we belong. And we can receive the hope, the joy, the peace, the promises of our Savior. We need a big view of God. And we need to be reminded this morning that God is not our yes man. You know, sometimes when we wrestle with God, and we wrestle with God in prayer, it's really that we want God to be our yes man. Anybody else struggle with that? You guys are awful quiet. I'm not sure you're being truthful though. God, I need this now. God, I want this now. God, I have to have it now. Now, it's not your desperation that concerns me there. As a matter of fact, desperation is often the avenue to God's greatest changes in our life. Desperation is often the times at which God is most at work in us. It's not your honesty. But I want to be reminded that because of your belonging, God does have your best interest at heart. You know what I find when we pray, when you pray, when I talk to people about their prayers, one of the hardest mental struggles is truly to believe that God has our best interests at heart. Sometimes you will say things to me like this: I know God is good to others. I know God helps. I know God's at work, but I'm not sure He's there for me. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus assures you that He is. Jesus assures you of the safekeeping, shepherding, sanctifying, sending work of the Savior for you, because our God cares. We've got to turn even the battle over to our Savior. Because we belong, we have great gifts. We are the gifts because we belong to the Savior. And that's a gift that we take into the world. You know, I would bet that a majority of you will be watching the Super Bowl tonight. And some of you may not be watching the Super Bowl, but you'll be watching the Super Bowl ads. You may tune in and out of the actual game, but I know there are many of you who will be looking at the ads tonight, because this is the day of days for commercials in the United States. This is the day of great expenditure to be the greatest clever. And you know, there really is only one great Super Bowl ad, by the way. The Coca-Cola ad where Mean Joe Green trades the kid his coat for his jersey. Best Super Bowl ad ever. But we tune in, don't we? What is it that these guys are vying for in your life? What do they want to sell you? Well, they're branding themselves. They're speaking to you. They want something of you. They're spending millions to draw you in. That you'll join the mission of whatever is being sold tonight. You know the beauty of God? He's not selling you. He's giving you. He's giving you Himself. And the overflow of the bounty of that is that we take His mission into the world. Because we are kept, guarded, protected, and transformed, we take that into His world. We are sent as ambassadors of the Savior. We are the portraits of His love. We are the megaphones of His greatness. We are the people who display the glory of God into His world. Because if God can change a people like us, maybe He can change a people like them. The Father has gifted disciples to the Son. And the Son is winning the day in our lives and others. that we may rest in Him. You have your favorite Super Bowl ad tonight? That's great. Tell me which one it was. I'll go watch them then. But remember the mission of our God, to bring a people to Himself that we may celebrate His greatness. We belong to the One who has given His life that we might have life. And if you don't know that belonging this morning, would you speak to me afterwards? I would love to introduce to you the One who would give it all, that you may join the journey with Him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are to have Your grace to us. In Your final hours when You pray for us, we are reminded how selfless and other-focused You are. Amidst our struggles and betrayals, Lord, would You remind us that You have made us something special in the blood of Christ for the glory of the Father for an eternity to come. Father, it is our desire to embrace the joys of Christ as those who are sovereignly chosen, intentionally created, and basking in the redeeming love of the Savior. Would You help us this hour in the name of Jesus to receive? Amen.